Good afternoon. Let's jump right into the Word of God here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, after a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ and lift him up. Ask that you would, by your Spirit, lead us and guide us that we might glorify him in the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ that died for our sins. We might honor him in the words spoken today. You might open up the ears and the hearts of those listening, and that you would guide us again throughout this week, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, in our chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're glad that you're with us as we're looking at verse 16, an often quoted verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We'd like to look at, as we begin, looking at how the Word of God is profitable for, to begin with here, it says doctrine or teaching. The word teaching, we would like to look at it in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Now, of course, this is not an exhaustive study of things being taught by any means, because when we speak of the Word of God in its entirety, it's an infinite book when we think of what it's teaching. But we're looking at a word study now of the word teaching. Exodus chapter 4, we see the first mention of the word in English, the word teaching. If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, the first time the word teaching is found, or teach, is in Exodus chapter 4. Of course, now I realize you look up teach, teaching, teacher, and all the different derivatives of this word, you can find it other times and perhaps before this. But looking up this very word, we see here with Moses, the first mention we have, chapter 4, as this is the great call of Moses, and chapter 3 is a burning bush where Moses was being called. There was a burning bush and a voice coming out of it, and he was told in chapter 3, verse 5, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And he calls this one Moses to do a work. Moses in chapter 3 and 4 has a handful of excuses. And we see here that God, when he calls someone to do a work, he also enables him. But we see here Moses and the Lord are having their discussion in chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he goes on and mentions again, teaching again with Aaron and Moses as the passage continues. But here, after Moses in verse 10 had said to the Lord that I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said that I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. That's the idea that we have here, that we're not out to preach ourselves, but Christ crucified. And we see that we're preaching the person of Christ. We're preaching the Word of God. We're teaching the doctrines of the Word of God. We're not out to teach ourselves or teach of our own opinion. So here is, Moses was told by the Lord that I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. We move on in the books of Moses to Deuteronomy. We see in this particular book the time when The word teach is mentioned the most, 13 times. It's mentioned out of the 5 books of Moses. It's found more in Deuteronomy than any other of these 5 books. We would like to turn to chapter 6 and pick one of those times out here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Here we see the encouragement, the exhortation to teach our children diligently. We move on to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and as we go over there, we pick up verse 23 is our verse we find the word teach in. But if we look in context here, you see how in verse 16, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, and ye may perceive that, and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. Here we see Samuel speaking to the nation Israel. They had asked the Lord for a king. They had been in the situation being governed by the Lord, using deliverers or judges, saviors, ones that would be raised up at the appropriate time, and yet they wanted to be like the nations round about. They wanted to be like these other nations that had kings. It wasn't the Lord's appointed time, nor the right person, but they chose Saul, a man they thought was head and shoulders above everyone else. But we see here it's still wickedness in the sight of the Lord that they wanted a king. Here had some time had gone by, and we see after some time had gone by that it was still wicked in the sight of the Lord. You know, we can do things before the Lord and see the Lord bless us, but then that doesn't give a sanction upon everything else that's done. The Lord may be saving people in your local assembly. That doesn't mean the functions of that local assembly is in line with the Word of God. He may bless in other areas despite of things that are deficient in other areas. You know, Paul told Titus to go to Crete and set in order the things that are wanting. You see, there are things sometimes that are not in line with the Word of God. He might be blessing in other things. For example, there may be many people being saved in the local assembly of believers. They may be reaching out to the lost and reaching a lot of people, having a lot of people walk in the building. And that doesn't mean that everything going on in that particular assembly of believers is in line with the Word of God. Here, the people were thinking, things are great. Who was it that said that we shouldn't have a king? Well, then Samuel spoke up and said, it's still wickedness in the sight of the Lord that you wanted a king. You change God's way, you change God's government. Sure, there's some good things going on today, but it's still wicked in the sight of the Lord that you wanted a king. Well, that's the background. And then we jump in here, and Samuel said unto the people, and this is after we see thunder and rain had come down as Samuel called unto the Lord after he spoke to the people. And the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Well, we see in verse 19, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Ye turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, and then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach, notice, I will teach you the good and right way. And only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So here, although he had to be straight with the people of Israel and tell them it was wicked, even though some time had gone by, it's still wicked what you asked the Lord for. But then, he turns around after the thunder and the rain came, and the people were fearing the Lord and Samuel greatly. Samuel took the opportunity to say, let's do what's right. I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I will not forsake the people of God for his great namesake, the Lord's namesake. He said, I will teach you the good and the right way. You know, things may be wanting in our lives, or might be wanting in the local assembly of believers, but we see that when we realize and we confess and we repent those things that are wrong, we can turn and learn and be taught and be revived in the things of God in the right way. Samuel was willing to teach them that which was right. We see here, as they feared the Lord greatly, Samuel turned around and said, I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, move on. Further, in the Old Testament, the word teach, we see 25 times in the book of Psalms, we see the word teach. We see that 9 of those times in chapter 119. Of course, this is the word, this is the chapter that speaks very lengthy about the Word of God. It's interesting when the word teach comes up in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, it's in connection with the statutes of the Lord and a couple of times of the judgments, but primarily with the statutes of the Lord. That's what the Word of God is called when the word teach comes up, is the statutes of the Lord. Also, we could turn to the book of Proverbs, if you will, chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and we see there in verse 7 to 9, here it makes a comparison. He that reproveth a scorner giveth himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man giveth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Notice here, teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Teach. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. We must be teachable to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Word of God. Those which are scorners and not those that are wise, we see the great contrast in their attitudes and their responses. But those that are wise, Scripture says that they can be taught. You can teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Each one of us needs to be teachable. As we open up the Word of God, as the Spirit of God works in our lives, as godly Christians encourage us by the Word of God, we must say, are we teachable? Are we willing to increase in learning by this very Word of God? The Scripture says, it is profitable for doctrine. This is Mike Moody saying, thank you for joining us. We'll be with you again tomorrow, Lord willing. 1 o'clock. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.